Welcome to the recorded service for Our Savior Lutheran Church, Westminster, Massachusetts, for Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion. This is Pastor Peter Gregory and Vicar Ed Schneefloke. The vicar will be preaching, and I will be conducting the liturgy with his assistance. For this service, we are beginning with the procession of palms at the beginning of the service, including the Palm Sunday Gospel reading from John chapter 12. Then we will continue into the regular service of the Word and a continuation of the Gospel reading in the middle of the service as well. In our prayers today, we're giving thanks for the birth of David Lovrens last Saturday to my wife. And we're also going to continue to pray for Liz Urbaez and her newborn son, Robert Daniel. We'll be praying for Linny Dye's friend Diane, who is caring for her husband. She is positive for the coronavirus. For Nancy Kangas's brother, who is beginning radiation and chemo. For Catherine Smith's mother, Mary Scharf, whose cancer has spread. For Randy Phelps, Matt Phelps's father, who is in hospice care. We'll pray for the family and friends of Dan Dufel, of Sue, the friend of Rosemary Jackson. Also for Saarinen and Sylander families from Christ Lutheran Church in Troy as they mourn. We'll pray for expectant mothers Lizzie Knapp, Hannah Hanlon, and Cara Labby. We'll be praying especially for our government and for those who are in the medical community, including praying for two people who are in the SMP cohort with Vicar Schneefloke, Dustin, who is a first responder, and Pete, who works in a nursing home. We'll also be praying for Agatha Dexter's son-in-law, Brian, who has been hospitalized, and for the Skirbo family, neighbors of a church family of Our Savior, who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring.
You are the King of Israel and David's royal son, now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One.
Our glory, laud, and honor To you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may speak of them as ring.
The company of angels is praising you on high, and we, with all creation, in chorus make reply.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring.
The multitude of pilgrims with palms before you went, our praise and prayer and anthems before you we present.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring.
To you, before your passion, they sang their hymns of praise. To you, now high exalted, our melody we raise.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring.
As you receive their praises, accept the prayers we bring, O source of every blessing, our good and gracious King.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The words of God from the Old Testament are written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turn not backwards. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me
and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The words of God from the letters are written in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood,
thus securing an eternal redemption.
Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant,
so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever.
A continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, TLH 142, LSB 438. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, all this I gladly suffer.
This Lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior, whom God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the Father said, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation.
Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. O wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay him low within a grave, who built the earth's foundations.
Lord, when your glory I shall see, and taste your kingdom's pleasure, your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me. And there, in garments richly wrought, as your own bride, shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Can you imagine what it was like? Jesus entering Jerusalem. If we were here together, I would ask you to join me in the cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we're not, so I'll give you a couple of seconds to shout it out on your own. Now I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about what happened a few days later when the cry was, "Crucify him, crucify him." I wonder how many voices were raised in both cries. We are fickle beings, but we do love a parade. One does wonder who the Greeks in this story were. They were probably from out of town, but they knew about Jewish law and custom. But whatever else, it seems like they were impressed by the procession, the crowds, the triumphal entry. It must have been like being in Boston during a Super Bowl parade. So, of course, they made an attempt to find out who this hero was. It sure seems like Jesus was a hero. Those Greeks may have even heard the word king floating around. In any case, he had to be important, very important, to draw a crowd like that. So many people, so much enthusiasm. But not everything made sense. He rode in on a donkey. The bigwigs, the chief priests and Pharisees, weren't there to greet him either. Could he really be some kind of a hero? Had he won a great battle, vanquished some formidable enemy? The Greeks understood what a hero was. It was part of their culture to revere great men, especially those who had suffered unjustly in the pursuit of truth and justice. So they sought out Jesus. It's not clear if the Greek men got to see him or not, but Jesus used the occasion to tell Andrew and Philip at least, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." At that point, they may even have been thinking, "Of course, we saw the crowds, we heard the cheers, we got a maid here." Note the "we." I'm sure they liked the idea of being part of the triumphal entry. They were, after all, Jesus' disciples. But then the twist. Jesus started talking about death. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." It must have seemed like a riddle at the time. But there was so much of what Jesus said that didn't make sense to them yet. We have the advantage of hearing that statement from this side of the cross. So we understand it, at least vaguely, at least superficially. We know Jesus was talking about his crucifixion, and we might be willing to stop there. In fact, we must stop there, because our salvation is the fruit of his death. Nothing we did, nothing we can do, takes the place of what Jesus did on the cross. With his wounds, we are healed. But even as we must stop there, we cannot stay there. Remember what Jesus said? "Whoever loves his life loses it." It's a bit scary, isn't it? Who doesn't love their life? Who wants to lose it? If I'd asked these questions a month ago, you might have well had a quick, easy answer for me. But things have changed. Matters of life and death are closer to us today. Death seems a little nearer to our door. Too near. In the brief time in the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God, and they talked with him. Death wasn't part of the conversation, though. It didn't have a place in the garden, but Adam invited death in. Sin came into the world through that one man, and death through sin. And so death, inescapable death, spread to you and me. How many generations have gone before us? They didn't want to die, but they did, because the wages of sin is death. Now, the beautiful thing is that God hasn't changed. He still wants to walk with us, with each of you, to talk with you in the cool of the day. But the debt that sin has accrued in us has to be paid. And the glory of God, and glory be to God, it is, has been. Jesus died that you might live. And his death is already yielded an abundance of fruit. In a different time, I would have asked you to look around and see what Jesus' work on the cross has accomplished. The lives that are now in him. The lives that death will not consume. If you're not alone, do that right now. If you are alone, well, you are not alone. But remember what it was and will be like together. We could rest there, confident in the word of Christ, for his work is entirely sufficient for our salvation. But in our text, Jesus went on to say, whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. We want to live. But what is our life for? Is it for pleasure? Is it for wealth? There have been times when those things, pleasure, wealth, and other distractions, were exactly what you and I were living for. And we have seen that even when these things are gone, desperate people will still cling to this life. Don't you know that we are not among those desperate ones? For us who are in Christ, we have already died, and our life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. As sweet as this life can be, it is like roadkill compared to what we have waiting for us, what Jesus went to prepare for us. We now hate those things that separate us from God. So why do we value life here at all? Jesus told us that too. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. We are children of God, dearly loved children, and children imitate their parents, so we follow Jesus. It will not always be easy. It may never be easy on earth, here in this broken world. And we serve him. That service may be hard too, and what we do may not always seem that impressive, but we follow Jesus and serve him as dearly loved children, and we are with him. As we begin Holy Week, we know it is going to be a strange one. We will not be able to be together, and yet we are together. We are the fruit of the sacrifice that Jesus made. We are the reason he suffered and died. Yes, it was because of our sins. You need to know that. But what I really want you to hear is that it was so he could be with you. He has always longed to shelter you under his wings. He has always longed to look at your face. Jesus went to the cross in humiliation. From there to the grave. From there to the skies. Now we can shout, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. Now we know that we do not need to cling to this life, because our life is in Jesus, and we will follow him, even to the grave, even to the skies. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Amen. The hymn, Lift High the Cross, Lutheran Service Book 837.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Come, Christians, follow where our captain trod, our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Led on their way by this triumphant sign, the host of God in conquering ranks combined. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
All newborn soldiers of the crucified wear on their brows the seal of him who died.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, raise us and let your cross the magnet be.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Let every race and every language tell of him who saves our lives from death and hell.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our song of triumph ever be, praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Let us pray for the church, that the Lord would defend her against all her enemies and keep her true to Jesus Christ by the power of your word and spirit.
Gracious Lord, keep your scattered church in your mercy, that she may endure the assaults of the evil one and remain faithful for the sake of those numbered within your kingdom and those who have not yet heard the gospel and been brought to faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for all pastors, for all who work in the church, and for all the baptized in their vocation as God's people, especially for those in the medical field.
Almighty God, by your Spirit, you have gathered us as your church and promised that wherever two or three are together in your name, there you are in our midst. Do not allow stress or disaster to distract us from the particular vocations into which you have called us to serve in the church, home, and community. Grant to us every gift and blessing needful, that we may honor our calling and serve you to the best of our ability. Guard and protect all whose work in the world brings extra risks and burdens at this time, especially for those serving in the medical field, for Dustin, who is a first responder, and for Pete, who works in a nursing home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for expectant mothers and the children they carry, and for mothers and their newborn babies.
Heavenly Father, in his earthly ministry, your Son welcomed little children and blessed them. For his sake, bless Lizzie, Hannah, Cara, and the children they carry in their wombs. We give thanks for your care and support of mothers and their newborn babies, and ask that you continue to be with Liz and her son, Robert Daniel, and Kristen and David Lovrens, that these children may soon be added to your kingdom in holy baptism. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for the government, for all in authority over us, and for our own lives as citizens and neighbors.
O mighty Lord, you have established the kingdom of the left and hold accountable all those who govern in this and every place. Guide our president, the members of Congress, the governor of this state, in this commonwealth, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve nobly and wisely, pursuing the path of justice and protecting the citizens entrusted to them. Give them the wisdom and strength needed to bring our world out of crisis and back to stability. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for an end to violence and terror, for those imprisoned, for the troubled in mind, and for those who suffer any affliction of the body.
Merciful Lord, your grace is sufficient for all our needs, and you have promised to be the strength of the weary, the hope of those who fear, the healing of the ill, the fullness of those disabled, and the peace of all who are distressed. Hear us on behalf of our nation and the world suffering pandemic and isolation. We pray especially for Linny's friend Diane and her husband, Nancy's brother as he begins radiation and chemo, Kristen's mother, Mary, Catherine's mother, Mary, Matt's father, Randy, in hospice care, Agatha's son-in-law, Brian, who has been hospitalized, the Scarbo family, and the family and friends of Dan Dufel, and Rosemary's friend, Sue, and the Saarinen and Sylander families, as well as all whom we name now in our hearts. Grant that they may be well supplied by your grace in every time of trouble, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for those not yet of the kingdom, that God would make us bold to speak the faith to them, and that hearing they might believe.
Everlasting Father, it is your will that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of your Son by faith. Give to your word success and deliver from error all those who live in darkness and fear, that they may walk in the light of the Lord Jesus and have confidence for the trials of this world and hope for the world to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for the earth to be fruitful and for our good use of all the fruits of the earth.
Blessed Lord, you give food to the hungry and provide for all our needs in this mortal life. Grant to us a grateful heart and knowledge to use wisely and well all that you have entrusted to our care. Bless those who work to make, prepare, deliver, or serve our daily bread, and give relief to those whose work has been halted. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane, TLH 159, LSB 436. Go to dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away. Learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall. View the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall. Oh, the pains his soul sustained. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn from him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn from Jesus Christ to die. Early hasten to the tomb, where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom, who has taken him away? Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise.